fears and get in a place of expectation. Because one thing that Jesus said, go ahead, Beth, and start it. It's going to be staying in the right spirit down them lines. But Jesus, you know, he told the disciples when he was going out to, and he knew he was fixing out to go to the cross, and he told them, he said, pray, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And they went to sleep, you know. And he come back and he said, can you not just pray for an hour, watch for an hour, you know. He was telling them not for his good. He was telling them for their good, because he didn't want them falling into the traps that was going to happen when he was crucified, you know. And so he was actually encouraging them, you know, to be in the right spirit and stay in the right spirit, that temptation didn't get to them. So we can see, you know, that prayer is one of the things that we need to, you know, have regularly in our lives, you know. And I mean, you know, I used to get on my knees a whole lot, you know. Now I mean, I learned how to bow my heart, and I mean, I can pray all day long, you know. And nothing wrong with either one of them, praise God. But praying will help you to stay in faith. If you're not in faith, you won't be in the right spirit. Because faith, everything we do, we live by faith. We do it by faith. We walk by that confidence in Jesus Christ in us. That's what that is. That's faith in God, hallelujah, you know. And if I was going like him to face a giant, you know, of mistakes I made, you've been redeemed from it, you repented, you're washed, and all of that slate was clean far as God's concerned, and now you're going for mercy. I told a guy one time, he come to me in about the middle of the service, and he had stole cars, major stuff, and all kinds of stuff, and got caught, got saved in jail, and they'd come to the food giveaway, and that's one of the ones you're talking about. So he said, we're going to go to church when I get out, and she said, I know where we're going. So they come over here. Lenny Hay comes in on a Wednesday night, and he got up there on the sound booth doing something before service, and he comes in, he's telling me about it. I'm going to court, blah, 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 and they got a bunch of felony charges, you know. They're going to give me some time, and I'm just letting you know ahead of time. And I looked at him, and I said, where's Jesus? I said, listen, man. I said, I know you did all that stuff, and the law requires you to pay up and settle up your dues. I said, but Jesus done paid the penalty for all of that stuff, and now you've repented. You're in a different kingdom now. You're in a different spirit now, and you're not going to go do those things. You're walking with God now. I said, now you go to court. When you go to court, I said, you don't go and put your trust in the DA, in the judges, in any of that. Although you're lawyers and all of that, don't go with their mercy. I said, you go with the mercy of God. And you believe God that when you go in there, that he's going in there with you, and you're going to receive favor from the Lord. He's going to grant you favor. He's already given you mercy. What was I doing? I was getting him in a right spirit. Because without being in a right spirit, you won't be able to receive like you need to from the Lord. He won't be able to maneuver in situations in your life, you know, like he wants to. I'm not just talking about that guy. I'm not talking about his little decision, that little thing. God delivered him. He went in there, praise God, he didn't go to jail. And God began to move, and God began to bring things together, praise God. And it wasn't too long he's walking with God, and I'd say, you're going to make it, man, just hanging here with Jesus. He's going to walk you through this. It wasn't too long till he had done all of those charges. He had done, I mean, everything was almost settled. And then he started walking away from God, and they run it all concurrent, and he went to prison. Stayed in there a year. He's out now. But what happened? He got in the wrong spirit after that. See, and that's what I'm talking about tonight. In how many knows it's vital in our walk and victory to stay in a right spirit at all times? We don't have time to be in a wrong spirit. We just don't have time for it. You know, we give place to the enemy when a wrong spirit is just yielding to the flesh. That flesh man is always going to be there. That old nature is always going to be there, ready to rise up at any minute you will let it. But see, we've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Galatians over there, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And walking in the Spirit is really simple. It's not hard. It's really simple. I'm prophesying this over you tonight. I'm going to bring this. I told Teresa, I said, I just can't seem to write down a sermon. I said, I know what I want to preach. I know what the Lord, you know. And she said, well, it's that way sometimes. But it's like the Spirit of God was just a knowing that after tonight, if you've been having trouble not walking in the Spirit, that it's going to be like effortless to you to yield to the Spirit of God instead of the flesh. Because, see, God told me, He said, you don't do this on your own. He said, that's why you have to be in faith. He said, that's why I've had you all your Christian life to major on the Word and on faith. He said, because without faith, you can't please me. And Galatians, Romans says, if we walk in the flesh, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Didn't say heaven. The kingdom of God, you know. Well, what's that? That's the blessing of the Lord. That's our peace. That's our joy. That's our ministries, you know. And Beth, give me that Proverbs 6. I got to do this quickly. Well, I ain't got to do it quickly. God's not in a hurry. If I need to do a 10-week series on it out of the same scripture, I've done it before. He said, my son, keep my father's commandments and forsake not the law of the mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. He said, when thou goest, talking about the word of God. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the word, the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are in the way. Now here, I'm just emphasizing the Word of God. That's about all I'm going to say about the Word unless the Lord leads me. The Word of God is very important for me and you to meditate on it, to read it. Jesus said, be careful what you hear, for the measure that you apply or you use, you can hear the Word, but you cannot, when you have opportunity to yield to it and you don't do it, he goes on and says that you'll lose what you have. He said, but if you apply it, if you pay attention to what you hear, for the measure you use will be measured to you. That's in Matthew. Give it. Just put it up there, man. Matthew 11. No, that's not it. No, you're right. That you leave that. But I was quoting that, and I was thinking I had it in the sermon, but it didn't. But Jesus said it. He said, be careful what you hear, for the measure you use. Now, a small example of that, I'm reading the Bible as a baby Christian, and I learned something. I'm reading the Bible, and I had some enemies that I'd made, and they had made towards me, and I was an angry guy, and blah, blah, blah. Not going through that whole bit. And I'm in my living room, and I'm reading in her Jesus. I'm wanting to find out about Jesus. And Jesus said, love your enemies. And I shut that Bible. I tell this over and over and over because I had revelation come to me through this incidence in my life. And I use it in finance. I use it in my marriage. I use the Word. But I shut the Bible and I said, I don't like that. I don't like that. Love my enemies. I mean, I thought I didn't sign up for this. God, I need to get vengeance. They need to know, even though I'm a Christian, you know, that I don't put up with this garbage. And every time I would try to pray, now I'm going to church. I don't know how to walk in the Spirit. I don't know that the Spirit's in me. I don't know that I've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. I didn't know that Jesus took on sin and condemned it in the flesh. He took it on Him and gave us His right standing, gave us His life. Now we can live His life. Now I can forgive. And you know what? I did. It kept coming to me every time I'd pray. That word come to me, and I even bind the devil a couple of times. I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone with this. But it wasn't the devil. It was the Holy Spirit. He's in me now. Now, he said over there that the word will what? Lead me. Right? He said it'll talk with me. When I sleep, it will keep me. It'll work in me. It's working in my life. The Word. Now the Holy Spirit's like, well, I can't do it till you do it. I can't do it. I can't do the freedom thing until you get in agreement with it. Why? Because I'm angry. We got a lot too much anger in the body. We got too much quick-tempered people in the body of Christ. Y'all were quiet, and it's not this bunch. I'm going to pretend it's not here. No, we're all growing and developing. You understand? I mean, I can be angry anytime I want to. I mean, I've mastered a lot of it. I mean, I've got it under control. But I mean, that old nature, that old life, that old is still there, and he still knows how to act up if I let him, if the real me lets him. But. The Word of God, that's why we listen to sermons on marriage. We listen to sermons on love one another and loving our enemies. And we hear it and then we practice forgiving. We by faith do it. We say, okay, God, you said do it. And then we rely on Him to help us to do it. We're not in this alone. We are supernatural beings. We're looking for a good report for this brother back here. We know that God works all things together for the good of those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. And you are. Praise the Lord. We will probably on a daily basis have multiple opportunities to walk in the Spirit. Because we live in an angry, uncaring, uptight world. Busy. Ain't got time for nothing, hallelujah. In a hurry to go nowhere. I mean, just life. You know, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you know what, son? He said, I know what pressure is. He said to Jesus. He said, I know what pressure is. He said, I took the pressures of the world on me. He said, I took it all. He said, I not only took sin. He said, I took all the pressures of this world and bore them on me and gave you freedom through me. So there is no amount of pressure that can come on you that can take you away from God if you don't let it. If you walk in the Spirit, there is nothing on this planet that can separate you from the love of God. If you walk in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit is simple. We are already in the Spirit when we're born again. I'll show you scripture to back up what I'm saying and what I believe. You know, so Jesus said here, he said, take my yoke upon you. Now he was talking to the ones that was living under the law. Here he comes down on the scene. They was living under the old covenant law. And here comes Jesus down here. And he says, he tells them, take my yoke upon you. He said, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your weary souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. But the Lord, I read that one time, and the Lord said, how am I? I said, well, you're lowly. You're meek. So he said, study it. So I go to the Strong's Concordance. It means he's gentle. He don't have a bad temper. See, at that time I had a bad temper. And he was showing me how Jesus is. He said, that's why you don't have no rest. That's why you're weary. He said, even as a Christian. He said, you've not took on my yoke. He said, you've not learned how I am. He said, you must purpose to be gentle. He said, if you don't purpose, then the fruits, Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit of God's in me. They're in you. They're not, you're not trying to get them. They came in you at new birth. If you are not born again, then you are without them. You're without God. You are without hope. Your father is the devil. I don't care what church tells you, what people tells you. If you are not born again, you are outside of the protection and covenant and mercy and goodness of God. You are under the powers of the God of this world. That is what you say. How do you know what is the God of this world? How can you see Him? You can see Him in the actions that are in this planet right now. The Bible says that Jesus come that we might have life more abundantly. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I mean, you look at it in our schools. You look at it at the borders. You look at it in the government. You look at it in some of the what they call blue states and even red. But it don't matter where it's at. We are the light of this world. And that gives us the power to walk in God and live in this life victorious with peace and joy. Not in this life going through life miserable and just existing and just making money and just that's all life is about. No, it is way more than that. The Bible says that life is more than food and drink. Hallelujah. So He said, I'm meek and lowly. That means humble. Meek means gentle. Not quick-tempered. Not hot. I mean, if you're hot, you got to work on it. I mean, if you're quick to get angry, you got to work on it. That is the dictate of the flesh man. The Bible says, if we yield to the flesh, we will die spiritually. But if we will yield to the Spirit, it'll bring life and peace. So, quick-tempered. Jesus was not quick-tempered. You couldn't get Him mad. The only time that I saw Jesus angry, He didn't even sin, is when He went in and they had turned the house of God into a den of thieves. They were making money off of the church. And He turned the money changers over and run them out. And should have. Good example of a meek man. He loves God. He's here to do the will of the Father. Hallelujah. And so Jesus said, and I'm believing God, that same Spirit that was in Jesus that caused Him to be meek and humble and gentle that is going to work in us. We got Him in us. See, our victory, our health, our families, our finances, all of this is linked to this. It's linked to walking in the right spirit, not yielding to a wrong spirit. That don't mean you can't handle issues. You can handle issues and stay in the right spirit. I've handled issues in my business with family members. I've handled issues in my family. They thought I was a bad preacher because I wouldn't put the drug heads up and take the church's money and pay their motel bill. Now we don't love. We're not a church of love. And I stayed in a right spirit. I went right on, praise God, and just acted like it never happened. And I didn't respond to it. And I didn't go tear their house down and burn it and run through it. And I didn't go backbiting talking about them. Come on, somebody. Jesus wasn't like that. And I purposed. You got a purpose. You got a purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart. God, I'm not going to get mad anymore. I'm going to believe You to help me. And then when you do, repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I slipped up, God. God, with Your help, you're relying on Him to help you. And before you know it, they'll be like, God, man, you can't make them mad. You just can't make them mad. I prayed one time and I asked the Lord because I went with my home with my pastor and he took me to the jails and I'd spent time with him, little ministry and different things, and you cannot make the guy mad. I mean, people say things in the meetings. I was in some heated meetings where people jumps up and runs out. And I jump up and go out after them. They're going to quit church and everything. I'll be like, well, man, calm down. Just calm down, calm down. You know, calm down. This is after that I'd encountered that scripture, you know, to love my enemies. And things started changing rapidly on the inside of me. Things started happening in the natural realm. God began to move for me. And I know it's because I began to embrace the Word of God. I began to yield to the Word of God. And it began to bring faith. Once you activate the Word, it brings faith to you. You know, and the Bible says that faith works by that love. You know, and you making up your mind that you're going to stay in the right spirit, you're yielding to love. Right then you're yielding to love. And before you know it, that love, that making your mind up to walk in the right spirit, stay in the right spirit, is going to generate the life of God in your life. And you'll begin to see it in your workplace, with your friends. You'll begin to see it. Yourself. You'll begin to feel it. You'll be like, "No, man, I'm changing. I'm really changing. You know, this is really changing me." So he says, "I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your soul." Your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. It's made up of those three things. Your soul is your mind. You have a calm mind. Your will will change to do the will of God. You won't want to yield to those things that are trying to destroy you and keep you sad and keep you oppressed. And you'll start having desire to yield to His will. And you'll really be saying, "God, not my will, yours be done." You'll really mean it. "God, not my will." Reminds me of this boy. He's going to church. And he wasn't going to my church. He'd come out of the world and he had only one thing that he knew of, you know, that was giving him a major problem, and he couldn't quit smoking marijuana. You know, he's just free, you know. He'd tell him, "Well, I still have this hang up." And the church is getting on to him, you know. They're just like ostracizing him, maybe, pointing that way, treating him different and all that stuff, you know. And so he's telling me, and it's hurting him. You know, it's hurting him because he cares about the people. And so he's telling me about it, and I'll just listen to him, you know, and I let him get done, you know. And I told him, I said, "Look, man," I said, "just ignore them. Don't get mad at them." I said, "You know, just ignore them." I said, "But don't quit church." I said, "Keep going to church." I said, "You just keep going to church, you know." I said, "God knows you want to quit smoking pot. Just as well as I wanted to quit doing cocaine and all that stuff when I got saved." I said, "You know, we just have these desires to come out of that stuff, you know, and when we're going after God." I said, "But don't quit church. And, you know, just keep going to church and don't get mad at them. Don't treat them no different." I said, they're going to reap some not good results in their own life, treating you that way, you know, because we're supposed to love one another." And I explained, what was I doing? Keeping him in the right spirit. Because I knew keeping him in the right spirit is going to keep him in his walk with God. And then in his walk with God, then he's going to get victories even though people's coming. Because you're going to have to face that too. People ain't going to jump on your bandwagon because you got revelation from God. They're just not going to jump on. They're going to be like, "Well, praise the Lord." You're going to be like, "What? Come on. Can't you run and dance with me?" "Well, I don't feel it." So you're going to walk that road too. You got to stay in the right spirit. Don't get angry. Don't get upset. I went to the Lord and we started this church. And I'm talking to the Lord. And I took up tithes and offerings at our church, started a building fund, buying 10 acres of land up there for $100,000, whatever it was. You know, and so, man, I mean, the last count I had, we had 30 grand in the building fund. And, you know, and then the church was prospering, you know. And so we're starting this church down here. And Pastor, "Well, you know, I see that it's the Lord's, you know. I see the fruit in your life, you know." And so he's backing me, you know, and prayed for us and give us the blessing. And I'm down there praying to the Lord one day, and I said, "Lord," I said, "they could give me $10,000 and I wouldn't have no problem. All I had was $300 when I started this church. $300 and a dream from the Lord, vision." So it don't matter what you got. You just keep your vision because God provides for your vision. But if you get in the wrong spirit, you get out of faith, you get out of your confidence in God, then you'll come short of the grace of God. You'll come short of the provision of God. And so I'm telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, they could give me $10,000. I've been faithful up there. I was faithful, bus ministry, street ministry, and wouldn't leave to you. And I'm going through the all the reasons that God should zap them and give me some money, because I know they got it. I got done all that whining. I'm not even in faith. Why am I putting pressure on? Why would I want God to put pressure on them? Why not believe Him and see His glory? That's what He was after. And I didn't know it. But anyways, when I got done, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I didn't tell them to give you any money. I thought, well, it's God's fault. Now I got an opportunity to get mad at God, Johnny. It ain't their fault, it's yours. Why is this happening to me? You can do it too. Why is this happening to me, God? Why are you letting this? You're blaming God. That's not a right spirit. See, this thing is deeper than what we think. But the sacrifice you make towards God will never outweigh the blessing that comes into your life. Well, always remember that. The sacrifice you make will never outweigh the blessing, the maturity, the spiritual blessings that'll come into your life, praise God. You need to study how Jesus is. He's meek and lowly. Those two things are humble. Let me give you a little example of humility. Humility is submission, and not because you want to, necessarily. Being humble, Jesus proved it out. He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. I mean, Jesus, He didn't want to go to the cross. But He said, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but yours. That's humility. You doing what God wants you to do, and you don't even really want to do it. I know that's not taught a lot, but that's the way it is. But before you know it, when you start doing what God wants you to, the want to will show up. And it'll change the have to. It'll change the obedience. Then it'll be a willingness. Then it'll be, you're glad you're doing it. You're glad. I'm glad I'm pastoring. Hallelujah. But we need to learn. Travis, we're setting up the, we're trying to help, you know, enhance music up here and other things. So we went through a whole, about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, month of up there, you know. And we're trying to get this thing worked out with the music and other issues. Travis is up there. He calls me one day. He's down here working on it, you know. And he calls me one day and he said, Dad, he said, I got it figured out. He said, but I'm going to have to change some things. And he said, I'm going to have to change this and this and this. And I'm strictly not into that. I mean, you can jack up a whole service with one knob. I set that complicated rascal up. I run all these snakes and all this and run all of that and spent hour after hour, week after week, month after month setting this thing up. And so I like to keep things simple. And so anyways, I'm thinking, oh my God. So I thought, well, I got to trust him. He's not got a self will. See, if you got a self will, it won't set well with God. If you got an ulterior motive in your will, God knows it. And He wants that gone. He wants your will to be His will. He wants me to be able to submit to you. All of y'all. You understand? I am a servant. I'm not your master. He's my master. I am a servant. A servant is one who serves and don't complain. Don't have to have its own right. I didn't go to my boss up there and go up there and up. I need to come in and see you there, boss. I don't think you're running that truck right. You need to change the tires. You need to blah, blah, blah. I mean, I would have got kicked out of there. It would have been, who are you? How long have you been here? 6 months? I've been here for 40 years, Jack. I built this place. Anyhow, he changes everything, come in, and he has everything backwards. It'll work, but it's backwards from what we've been doing it. And I'm up there, and Beth, she's about to come unglued with this stuff. Because now it's changed everything for her. You might think her job is simple. We need to put you up there for a few minutes. One service, and don't jack nothing up. Because we need the anointing down here. Okay? So don't jack nothing up. Look at her. She's red-faced. She knows how pressurized that is. And it's not because I'm doing the bossy thing. It's just that I know we ain't got time for all of that to get jacked up with the anointing. So anyways, Beth, she's like, oh, God, how am I going to do this? I mean, she's trying to turn her mind upside down. You know, he's turned everything upside down, so to speak. That's some way to explain it. So she's all confused about all of it. And I walk up there and I'm like, okay, what runs what? He's like, well, this and this. I said, you can't control this with that and all of that. You got to go right here and all that. And so Beth, she takes a picture of that computer board. That's my idea. I take pictures when I unplug an operator that I don't know how the wires goes. I take a picture of it. Now when I go hooking that up, I pull that picture up. And it ain't lying to me. That red wire goes right there. That's where you unplugged it. So she takes a picture of that board. That way, if any knobs are moved, I know where they go back. So she takes a picture of it. So I'm standing up there. There's a purpose in that. Man, I can fix it right back in just a second or three. Well, up there, and Travis, he comes up there, and now I'm confused. And I'm like, if you can get me confused, that devil's in here somewhere. He's the author of that stuff. So I says, okay, Beth, change it all back. He's standing right there. I didn't have no thought, is this going to offend him or not? I should not have that in here. The decisions I make should not ever offend you unless I'm ungodly, unless I'm just jacked up from the floor up. You hear what I'm telling you? That's humility. Pride says, bless God. I told Teresa one time, I didn't mean to go this route. But you got to stay in the right spirit. Teresa starts over there and I'm already something on cold or whatever. And I didn't have no conscious thought. I hope it don't offend her. That's my wife. Oh God, get her dander up. I don't want to get my wife's dander up. I like her in the spirit. I like her in the spirit in the morning. I like her in the spirit when I come home at night. I want her walking in the spirit at nighttime. Because if I don't, that flesh is hell. Devilish. Tear down. Oppress you. Starts up there, she's going to turn that. And I looked over there and said, don't turn that down much. And when I look back, lightning hit her. I mean, she's quitting this church. Who does he think he is? I mean, even get me a hoodie. I don't have to go there. I'm going back to my church. What was that? Full-blown pride. I didn't mean nothing by that. Actually didn't have no thought. Maybe God inspired me to say it, just to see the fruit. Oh, you ain't no cucumber no more, baby. You are a rotten lemon. She ain't. But she was greatly, what I'm saying, I'm making fun of it. She was greatly challenged with that and went on and stayed in the right spirit and and grew and developed. I faced it here too. Well, I told Beth, I said, change all that back, every bit of that back. Now, he's done been out here hours. It didn't take him 5 minutes to do that. He's coming down here working on it, trying to get it going. I'm making a point to all of this, you know. And all, I mean, at one instant, I just wiped out all his hours. Gone. Why? You're causing chaos in this church. He didn't mean to. He's working. He didn't, you know. And later on, he told me, he said, I could have got mad. I actually felt it. But he chose to stay in the right spirit. If he didn't, if you know what, if he got in the wrong spirit, you ain't going to be singing no more. God, y'all are quiet. You don't want a wrong spirit behind this pulpit. I don't want a wrong spirit on that drum set, on that keyboard, on the bass. That's me. Right? I want a right spirit coming out of that bass and that singing. I don't want a wrong spirit in either one of these boys right here or the guitar player over there. Everybody needs to stay in a right spirit. A right spirit will come in this house, whether you're in ministry or you are not in ministry. Come in and get in a right spirit and get plugged into the anointing. That anointing will destroy yokes and lift burdens because Satan is after your life. He's after your future. He's after your marriage. He's after your kids. He's after y'all young folk, whether you believe it or not. When you're hooked up to do evil in school, young ladies, you are encountering darkness. And if you don't make a right choice, that darkness will take you down a road that you will wish when you had the opportunity to do stay in a right spirit. If you're not saved, get saved. My granddaughter, I talked to her so much about Jesus, she got saved. I'm trying to get her saved. She said, "Papa, you already done it." "I'm saved, Papa." And I said, "Well, okay, I just wanted to make sure, you know." Staying in a right spirit. I'm not getting on to it. I'm telling you. This is the way of the kingdom. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn how I am. I'm meek and lowly in heart." He said, "And you will find rest for your weary soul." That's why I'm a kind of a peaceful man. I enjoy the works of my hand. I endeavor to stay in a right spirit. And when I get out, I get right back in. Well, it went on, that guy, he didn't quit church. He stayed in the right spirit, praise God. And he went on, him and his wife pastored later on. He come out of the marijuana, just like I knew he would. The Bible says the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in his weakness and all of that, praise the Lord. And he didn't quit, left in good standing, I reckon, with the church. Put the Romans 1:17 up there, maybe we can move to this. Here is in the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's why I'm real big on the word here. Because faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. Faith comes to you, whether you understand it or not, by hearing the word. I don't have to understand. All I need to know is it says it. And if it says it, then just do it. Get in that word. When you're going through financial stuff, get you some word on somebody preaching about finances. Why? You need some faith. You need to stay in faith. You need to keep built up in faith. You need to stay in the right spirit. Number one, that's what it will do for you. Because your life with Jesus is personal. Well, you know what? Travis went on and he submitted. He does it at work. But you know what? I went through it and I told him, I was just messing with him. I told him, I said, "You know what? I said, maybe we need to bring Beth in and let her run blunt overhead door for about a week and hire a couple of people that I should have fired 8 years quicker and let her be over them for a little while. Then the church would be easy." See, if you can deal with these folk out yonder, if you can deal with that out yonder and stay in the right spirit, you can handle church, you know. But emotions are a little closer in church, so you got to watch that stuff. That's why we teach you that you don't walk by your five senses, by the way it feels. Don't walk by your circumstances, the way it looks, the way it feels, the way it sounds. You walk by faith. You walk by faith. You walk by faith in church. I would have quit my church 1,800 times if I'd have went by the way people acted. So I asked the Lord one time, my pastor, I told him, I said, "God," I said, "give me a double portion of what's on his life." Well, I wasn't just talking about the anointing. He preached, man, and it changed us. You know, I mean, he prayed for us and things happened. Why? He was a man of faith, and he preached us and kept us in a right spirit and fed us spiritually. But we didn't just rely on church. Me and Teresa plugged in, you know, listening to sermons in the daytime and reading that Bible and listening to... I listened to a woman preacher when they, my church up yonder, not that one, told me that women were supposed to be silent in the church, that they shouldn't be preachers and teachers and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I believed it until, I mean, I turned it on and this is the only preaching I could get on the radio, and it was Joyce Myers, and she changed my life for 9 months. And she even brought up scripture. She said, you know, I battled it from people out there in the world. She said, I mean, in the church mainly, you know, women ain't supposed to be preachers. You know, she said, and I went and took it to the Lord. And he said, who are they to say I can't anoint you? He said, they taken a scripture out of context in there. One place in that Bible, it says that. And if you read the history of that, they didn't have church like we have church. They came in and the women sat over here and the men sat over here. And they're asking questions in the service. And Paul was telling Timothy to bring order to that. Let the women ask the husband. Don't do it in church. Like I would do you here. If y'all over here cackling like hens and I'm trying to preach and everybody's trying to listen, I'll stop and put one of you over here and there. And we'll have the way back under church going on in here. I know y'all learning. We're getting it right. Hallelujah. Well, you need some boldness in you. Not that, do you know the Bible says the righteous are bold? Said, and I say it a lot here, they're not mean as a snake though. They're bold, but they're not touchy. They're not high-tempered. They're not quick-tempered. It's hard to get on their nerves. See, it's easy to stay in the right spirit when you're not under pressure. But the pressure is what helps you build this. Build this. You're not going to be moved. This steadfastness, this self-control, you know, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. I don't ever have to get mad. I know that's a far-fetched statement to what we hear in the church today, but I'm telling you, you never have to get mad. Give me that Proverbs, Beth, because I'm not going to have time to maybe get on in that. Yeah, give me that Proverbs. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. Soft answer. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, I dealt with you at home. I said, you did. I used to be quick-tempered, even with Teresa, you know. And it was starting out. I'd get a little frustrated with Travis, you know, and the Lord took me to that scripture, and he said, a soft word turns away anger. He said, but them sharp words you speak stirs it up. And so he started dealing with me about not being quick-tempered with Teresa. So y'all husbands, Jesus said, he's meek. He's lowly. See, the irritation is not your wife or your husband. The irritation's in you. And then that incidence is bringing it out. That pressure's bringing it out of what. And it's not really in you, it's that flesh nature. It's that old man. The fruits of the Spirit is in you. You've got to choose not to do it. The more you choose not to do it, the more that the Spirit of God's working. And it'll be effortless for you. For you know it, you'll just be laid back, man. And I mean, you'll be like, it's hard to get you mad, you know. Hard to get you upset, you know. And Satan can't do nothing with that kind of person. Can't do nothing with them. Praise the Lord. And with your kids. And y'all kids at school, don't be snapping back at the ones you don't. It's not in your clique at school. And having a snuffy attitude and tell them you go to Faithway Christian Center. Don't represent us if you're going to do that. You know, you be soft. You be like Jesus. You be gentle. You love the unlovely. You love those that are not lovely. You care for them. Why? Because your words turns away wrath, the anger in their life. It don't just work in, you know, Christian clique here. Soft words turns away wrath. I've worked people over the years, over the last 30 years, and they get chewed out and their bosses would chew them out and holler at them and blah, blah, blah. You'd hear the stories, you know, and they like their job and blah, blah, blah. You know, and the Lord told me, he said, they expect that out of you. He said, they're expecting that. They get that everywhere. And I made up my mind as a boss over the last 30 years that they'll not get that out of me. To cuss and chew you out and rag you all day long and cut you down and make fun and jokes towards you. Soft words, gentle words, turns away wrath. And then you know what? They like working with you or around you. They enjoy you then. Why? Because you are like Jesus now. And you've got rest on the inside, even though you might be real busy on the outside. And I never was quick-tempered with Travis. I mean, I got saved pretty quick, you know, a year and a half, and God began to work on me. It wasn't because I straightened myself up. I couldn't do it, Johnny. I could not do it. That's why I got frustrated when I'm in one of the meetings and kept hearing Deacon, got to die of the flesh, die out to the flesh. He said it all the time, you know. And so I finally got angry. You know, and I said, well, tell us how. I said, I'm doing everything but crucify, get on the cross. And Bradley just preached that you can't even nail yourself to the cross. If you got both feet nailed in one hand, how are you going to nail the other one? He was talking about rely on Jesus. He's the only one that can take us to that finished work. You know, so I asked him, I said, come on, man, tell us. Tell me how. Doing everything I know to do to crucify the flesh. I think I've crucified a bunch of it. I'm burning now. This is killing me. Love your enemies. Man, I'm burning. I mean, this will kill the flesh. But I'm telling you, death to that flesh, man, is freedom. I'm telling you, it's freedom. I mean, Jesus knew that going to that cross, he surrendered his will to God's will. He knew that that was going to be freedom from him. He's getting to go back home, Johnny. I mean, he had to leave home. That's why he says, we're in this earth, you know, but we're this pilgrim. This is not our home. This is not your home. God's come down to redeem you, to bring you home. But while we're here, we want the fruits of God. So don't be quick-tempered with your kids. Don't down them. Don't down them. That's soft words, good words, easy words. You look this up, it means gentle words, soft words, kind words. Man, this is powerful what I'm saying. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, this thing is deeper than what you think. I said, I know, Lord, I don't know. But you do. Quick-tempered with people that I work for. What do you mean work for? I thought you worked for yourself. No, I don't. I just own the business. I work for them. I work for the public. I own the business, but without them, I don't have it. So I'm actually their servant, you know, and I need to serve them well if possible. And not be quick-tempered with them and not get angry with them and not down them, and even though they might be jacked up from the floor up. So in school, they need y'all. They need y'all in school to stay in a right spirit. You think teenagers don't know what I'm saying? Any of y'all don't know what I'm saying? Slip your hand up. They know. You do. Mac, you're grown. You got a mustache and a beard. The teenagers know what I'm saying. I mean, Aubrey might not. I might have to set it down just to explain to, but every one of us know what I'm saying. To stay in the right spirit. Getting snappy with your husband. You know, it's not that God's not pleased. That's not the real issue. The destruction that you're doing to yourself and to your husband and to your wife or your kids when it's plain right here. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. So we don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be like the world, just snap off whenever we want to snap off. But they get on my everlasting. You better stop confessing that. You say, they're not getting on my nerves, they're getting in my arena. In my arena, I'm going to be soft and gentle. I'm going to relay. You're doing this for yourself and your kids. Don't downgrade your kids. I know we wouldn't do it on purpose. Don't call them little hoodlums and idiots and, you know, and all of that. Travis never heard none of that garbage. Never. I never told him he was stupid. I told him one time when he got on up there, I said, that was stupid, son. And I mean, that broke his heart. Oh, he runs to mommy. Daddy said I was stupid. I didn't. I said that was stupid. Whatever he did, he broke his heart. He never heard that kind of harsh word. That was real harsh to him. Just to tell him that was stupid. You know, I never slapped him in the head. Get on, poof, out of here. What's wrong with you? I'm trying to watch TV. Slap him in the head. Punch them in the back. I've seen parents, Christians. You know what I'm thinking? There's no way that's not going to affect them. They can act all bad and tough. And I used to think big guys didn't ever cry. I went to the jail one time and a guy had been into it with his wife. And you know how come I knew that? He was missing skin down the sides of his face. She had fingernails too. I didn't have to ask him. The evidence was there. And the Lord, we was in there ministering, and Bradley got him all upset. Bradley was took me to jail. I told you, man, if you'd have gotten church, none of this wouldn't be happening. And that dude, you could see him like a red bull, man. I mean, just, you could see it's making him mad. Then all of a sudden he turns and he says, oh, I don't want to introduce you to Brother Scotty. He's coming to the jail now, and I'm thinking, not this dude. This dude was big, man. He done been into his wife and all of that, you know, and everything. And then I'm thinking, man, you shouldn't have made him mad. Now I gotta do something with this. What am I going to do with this? I hadn't been saved in 7 months. You know, I'm thinking, what am I going to do with this, man? He's upset, you know. But I walked up there, and the Spirit of the Lord took over. And I began to minister to this dude, and when I did, his heart just humbled towards the Lord, and tears began to run down his face. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you big crybaby, look at them big arms, man. God, crying. You're to a little bitty 5'6" dude here. But I didn't shut that mind off. I thought, God's moving here. But you know what? I began to speak soft words to him. It wasn't harsh. It was, you know, and that's what the Lord was teaching me. And I felt the fruit of it in my life at home and work and everywhere else. I've started experiencing the fruit of that, you know. And so that's what he was experiencing. He started experiencing the fruit of it. So, I have choice words with my grandkids. When they're doing something that I don't really like, they've never had me to raise my voice that I can think of to them. I just calmly use wise words. What's it say? The tongue of the what?
Wise.
Uses.
Knowledge.
Right? You choose what you say before you say it and how you say it. And the more you practice it, the easier it is. The easier it is. Teresa, Aiden, every time he, I've got to close, we all got to work tomorrow. Every time he gets around, he likes to get on the YouTube big trucks. He likes them big monster trucks, man. And so every time he gets around me, he says, Papa, did you bring your phone? Or can I get your phone? And I says, well, I guess so. I said, you better not watch nothing bad on there now. Oh, I won't, Papa. I'm not going to watch nothing bad. And so, I mean, every time he said, I started kind of feeling jealous of that phone, you know. And so he come in and I told him, I said, he said, Papa, I was thinking, well, can I get your phone? And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I'm going to let you have that phone. I said, you see where that hand is on that clock? It was on 25 after. I said, it was 25 till. I said, when it gets on the one, that's it. I said, you've got 30 minutes. I said, because Papa wants some time with you too. You know, well, I'm going to limit him on that, you know. Well, now when he asked, and Teresa said it tonight, he said, Grandma, did you bring your phone? She said, yeah. Said, I'm going to have to help you with your addiction. He said, I ain't got no addiction. I just want to watch it, you know. Well, she told me, you got to church. She said, I'm going to have to stop saying that over him and reaffirming that over him and saying it over him and reaffirming it over him. Why did she say that? Because she realized there that that's not a good thing to be confessing. That he's, even if he does have a problem, don't reaffirm it. Or if somebody has a problem, don't reaffirm it. Help it. You know, don't be quick-tempered with your wife. Don't be quick-tempered with your husband. Hey, get those. Don't make excuses. Stop making excuses. There's nothing that anybody can make you do to you to make you mad. You have to choose to get mad. You've got to choose to get mad. If I make a choice or somebody makes a choice in ministry here and you don't agree, you have to choose to get mad. You don't have to get mad. You got to stay in the right spirit. Stay in the right spirit at work. Even if they're dumb. That last example. I drove a truck for 10 years, local, not over the road. And so you didn't have GPSs and all this stuff back then. You had written, you know, mile markers, house, red bus, whatever. Go down 70 miles to mile marker, blah, blah, blah. We got it good now. I got some GPSs. Lay it down, listen to it. Well, anyways, now I know where I'm going. I drove all over Hoover and Birmingham and everywhere delivering stuff, you know. And so something happened, and they put this guy that was in the office in there that went and checked jobs. I mean, you know, measured for windows and this and that, and put him over, you know, the scheduling of the deliveries. Well, when he did, he didn't have a clue where nothing was. And so I get into my truck one day, and they loaded it that afternoon, and I had about four or five deliveries on there. And I don't never know till I get in unless I load it that evening. And so I get in there, and I'm like, are you serious? Are you serious? You can't be serious. This can't be serious. But it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and I can't do nothing about it. They don't open until 7. They had me backwards. The way that I was going, the way that I did deliver them was, it cost me three or four hours longer, because they had it going backtracking down yonder 40 miles back when you could have went, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I'm like, that evening I'm like, I'm not putting up with this crap. I'm just not going to put up with it, you know. And so, and you know, I go and I quit. Well, I told him the day before, no, I did know about it. I told him the day before, I said, look, man, if I go this route right here, I said, I'm going to be a long time longer. I said, you understand? All you got to do is change this up. Well, I can't. I said, why can't you? He said, because I done told them what time we're going to be there, and I kind of figured it to be there, and they're going to be waiting on us. And I thought, well, this, I said, okay. So I went on, and then I went back, and I said, You can't load that like that. He said, I can load it like that. And so I quit. I just quit the job like I always did back under. Got in the wrong spirit. That's what I always did, Johnny. Just quit. Things gets tough, just quit. Don't like what somebody said, just quit. Getting tired of your marriage, just quit. Getting tired of whatever, just quit. That's what I did, quit. Only thing I didn't quit is drugs. I could put up with them. They never have given me an attitude. Anyways. I go and quit. Well, God makes me go back. And I had to go, and I had to ask for my job back, apologize for quitting, and then I had to go to him and tell him I was sorry. Because God told me, he said, you stepped out of your place. He said, your boss give him that job. And it's not for you to run his job. Although you was right in that, but you was wrong. And so I had to learn to submit when I didn't like it. And that's what I've been talking about tonight. Hallelujah. So if you quick tempered toward your brothers, sisters, your mother, your father, your siblings, you know, work on it. Jesus wants you to work on it. And all it's going to do is set you free. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we thank you, Father, tonight, Lord, that we can stay in a right spirit.